When you get into the cooler months, I see that wallaby is quite big on the menu. Wallaby and some birds.
Yes, wallaby and some birds. Looking nowadays, there's not too many wallabies here. But yes, wallabies would have been probably on the other side there, where the grassier slope is. They had different ways of getting the wallabies. One way would have been just tracking it with his footsteps through the scrub, and getting it with a spear or something. They also had hunting dogs to help them go after the wallaby. Now, we understand about the previous story I've said about Gwondo, or the dolphin trainer, and he was a Kumbumari legend. He was a big, tall fella, a big, white, flowing hair, very muscular. In this area and all along the coast, he used to train the hunting dogs. So on the other side where it's very grassy, we would have used the hunting dogs to go after the wallaby, which we've just talked about. Okay, so it's all linked in. Hunting dogs, very important. Dingoes, they're smart, they're intelligent and capable, so that's what they do. I just like when the dolphins used to come after the fish, they'd use the dingoes to chase the wallabies towards them.
So with the wallabies, you'd have, depending on the terrain that you're in, you'd have different methods of capturing them. You were talking in an earlier segment about the women making the nets. I'm assuming that was a net that was strung up between trees, and the roo or the wallaby would just bounce into it and get trapped.
Yes, they would have. They could have easily strung it up between a couple of trees. Depending on the terrain, though, if it's an open grassy field, you would have just got a few people just dragging it. Okay, maybe one on each end, maybe a few in the middle, depending on how big the net is. If it's 15-meter net, you're gonna have a few people to drag that. But yeah, they might just string it up, or might just drag it along the field, with the dingoes chasing the wallaby or the kangaroo towards the net. We didn't call kangaroo. No, that's a kangaroo's word from our Sydney area. We called the kangaroo Giriman, the big tall fella, kangaroo, eastern grey usually. So yeah, Giriman would run towards the nets that the women would make, and the kangaroo were running towards the net because of the hunting dog or dingo, or because of the fires that were lit.
Just about to ask you about that, because another segment you've talked about how fires were used, and not just to get native plants germinating again, but you would have used it to flush out some of the wildlife.
That's it. So yes, definitely back then, if there's any dry, patchy areas of the environment that need burning, well, then they would burn that. What you have to remember is that when they used to burn the environment, it was consistent. So it might be every year or every few years. So when the fires would go through, they didn't cook everything and roast everything, unlike what's happened in Victoria a few years back. Very sad and unfortunate down there. But that would never have happened. They would have just been very careful to monitor the fires. Or if they did let a fire go, it wouldn't have been ragingly hot, wouldn't have destroyed everything. Would have cooked a lot of things to a degree, but it would have left a lot of patchy bits of the environment as well. Now, when we burn in Queensland parks today, we usually tend to burn for like a mosaic patchy effect. So yes, burn some of the environment, but make sure it's patchy so the animals have somewhere to hide so they can eat some of the greens. Now the Kumbumaris would do that too. When they burn around the environment, sometimes they would burn around a water hole, and they leave bits of green around the water hole, so you get all the animals going to the water hole. So you've got water there for you after you go hunting and tracking all day. So when you get to the water hole, you've got food and water ready to go.
Easy, fast food.